The Press Box with Charlie, Joel, and Nick.
Well, the economic reality is Roberto Osuna is making $10 million this year. Prorated down, of course, with the schedule. So eligible for salary arbitration for 2021. The Astros aren't going to offer him salary arbitration. So he's either going to have to agree to a substantial pay cut to be here, or the Astros are going to non-tender him, and he'll become a free agent.
The Press Box, weekdays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Excuse me. And you know what that music means, A.J.?
I do know what that means. Talk to my old co-host, who was way more professional than you, Fred.
Okay.
Except he hated working with me, I'm pretty sure. More. Well, he hated it more than you did.
I don't really hate it. I just don't love it.
Right.
Yeah.
Craig Way, the voice of the Texas Longhorns. Hello, Craig.
Hello, Arthur. Good to visit with you. How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing, old friend?
I'm wonderful, doing great, and it's not true. I did enjoy working with you, but you sound remarkably the same as you've always sounded. But, so as deliciously acerbic as you have always been.
Now, Craig, when they first told you you were going to host the show with me, what was your initial thought? Be totally honest. I can take it.
It was, really? But I knew, I also knew that you had already made great progress in this industry and probably would continue to make great progress, and I might learn a thing or two as well. So I look forward to it, and I enjoyed it. I really did.
Okay, I did too. I always had a good time with you. I know that there were times where I made you a little bit uncomfortable, but I thought that we had some good chemistry. So I always enjoyed our show together. Craig, I guess, listen, there was a lot of doubt about whether this season was even going to happen or not, but Texas off to a good start last week, at least on the field, right?
Yeah, and as to doubts, AJ, I guess Baylor and Houston are still doubting, right? If things are going to get going, what a bizarre story that is. But you're right. You know, I think that that it was good, that there was a great deal of concern, and because, you know, what's all the words we're using? Unprecedented times, all of those things where we just really weren't sure what the next shoe to drop, what's going to be the next thing that'll happen. And we've seen several of those next things. Fortunately for Texas, you know, once they got back into fall camp workouts, they went the entire month of August and up to this point in September without a positive COVID case. So it worked out well. Their bubble and their procedures and protocols worked out. But of course, that doesn't mean you can control anybody else's, and they were hoping that UTEP's worked out okay, especially since they had a game the week before against Stephen F. Austin, and it did work out. And now they're hoping that the challenges that Texas Tech has had with the reported 75 total cases, but 69 recovered and 6 active cases, whatever it is all cleared up, and that they can go next Saturday afternoon in Lubbock to open Big 12 conference play. So the uncertainty, there's no doubt, it's still there, and it's probably going to be there throughout the rest of the season. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but at least they feel good in that they were able to get the season underway, and so far, so good.
Now, credit where it's due, Texas did what they were supposed to do against UTEP, who is essentially an FCS team in disguise. I mean, they're if not the worst, they're one of the worst FBS teams in the entire country. And Texas made them look like that. But obviously, you can't really take anything away from it. What were your thoughts coming into this season if they were to play? How do you feel like Texas matches up against the Big 12?
Well, assuming everything comes off as scheduled, I like their chances. to compete and to be a contender in the league. Look, but we'd be foolish if we said that the favorite in the conference was anybody other than Oklahoma. They have the track record. They have the skins on the wall. They got the five consecutive conference titles. The road to the conference championship goes through Norman. Or, since Texas and OU play in Dallas, it goes through the Metroplex. First Dallas and then Arlington. They, you know, one way or another. But I do like their chances. I like the fact they've got veterans in key positions. I do think they have the best quarterback in the Big 12 Conference. There's other good ones, and I think we'll see Spencer Rattler really emerge as an outstanding quarterback at OU. But I think the veteran leadership of Sam Ehlinger, plus what he's done, gives him an edge over a lot of quarterbacks. I like that. And their offensive line is veteran, and they've got some veterans in key spots. And, you know, A.J., in some of the areas where they've had some question marks going into the season, like the receivers being real young, we saw some positive signs there last week. And I'm in complete agreement with you. We know what UTEP is and what that was all about. It's, you know, but that's, you know, you play one of those games. Since you're only going to get one before the start of conference play, it should be a game that would be, at the very least, manageable, but where you could still see a lot of guys. And they were able to play everybody under the sun. Yeah, my son Andy is my spotter. He was staying real busy with the flip card and the depth chart. And we have an extra sheet just for walk-ons, reserves, and freshmen. And he had that in his hand the entire second half. So that was a good thing in that respect.
Kansas, Iowa State, Kansas State, not a good start for the Big 12 outside of Texas and Oklahoma, really. Is there concern that, I mean, they're really in a situation where, I mean, if you lose one game in the Big 12, you're at risk of not being worthy of a playoff spot because the Big 12 appears to be pretty down outside of the very top.
Yeah, they're not playing a Sun Belt school, right? You know, since they went 0-3 against those three Sun Belt teams, really, really strong. And then, of course, Houston Baptist, an FCS from the Southland, really gave Texas Tech a battle 1 week after Houston Baptist gave up 721 yards of offense to North Texas. And I'm not here to brag on my alma mater because they're going to be relatively mediocre this year. So that should tell you a little bit about some of the struggles that the Big 12 may encounter. I think they're very top-heavy, AJ. I think it's Oklahoma and then Texas and Oklahoma State, I think, are on a pretty even par. And we'll find out a little more about the Cowboys tomorrow when they play Tulsa, a week later than they were originally going to play. So we'll find out a little more about them tomorrow. But I think we know, you know, they've got veterans in a lot of places. They're going to be a contender. Other than those three, you know, Baylor and TCU don't know that much about. TCU still trying to find a quarterback right now. And Baylor, of course, wants to see what they have. But they had to call off the game with Houston because of not following the right protocols and contact tracing. So they have to wait another week. And, you know, maybe it gives Texas a little bit of a jump and Oklahoma a little bit of a jump. We'll find out down the road. But I do think it really is kind of top-heavy with Oklahoma and then Texas and Oklahoma State, the other two contenders.
Well, Baylor, I'm considering Baylor 0-1. They lost to coronavirus, so you can't get that one back. Who's the running back for Texas? Is there a number one guy, or is it just going to be sort of a bunch of guys getting a bunch of carries until someone sort of separates himself from the pack?
In a word. But Tom Herman has said that from the start, that they were all very, very close. They all merited the right to play. We saw all three of them play quite a bit, and all the three of them contributed. I will tell you this. Everybody was very excited about Roschon Johnson coming back for his sophomore year. Keontae Ingram had a great bowl game and was completely healthy. And then Bijan Robinson was one of the, you know, top recruits in the country, if not the number one running back, certainly one of the tops, and he flashed a few things. So, you know, I do believe, though, AJ, that the way that the reps are cut up in practice, that it would be difficult for one guy to just absolutely stand free and clear, you know, going into a game. One guy is really going to have to shine far more than the other two in game action in order for there to be separation at that position, at least for the first few weeks.
Let me ask you about some off-the-field things. First of all, I want to know how the game day experience was. What was different about, you know, DKR than it would normally be for an opener? And how was it different not only for the fans, but how was it different for you?
Well, there were definite differences. Obviously, folks know about what it was like with the fans. They had somewhere in the neighborhood of 18,000 fans there because they're doing all that south end zone construction on the whole new football complex in the south end zone, and then they're going to have some suites backing into that complex when it gets all done for next year. So you had that. So it was going to cut down even at 25% capacity. The 25% was going to equal about 18,000 seats, which is about what they've – listen, you remember what it was like when you used to go to a spring game. It kind of looked like that. It felt a little like that if you were there for that. Now, completely different in the press box. They limited it to 20 media total. So, like, each of the campus websites, you know, the dot-coms, they got one credential. The Austin American-Statesman, which normally just floods that press box with people, some of whom actually worked, they had a grand total of two credentials in the deal. Our own radio network, which normally has seven people working right now, there's six people between the booth and the other, was limited to four. So, and of course, Roger Wallace and I had a plexiglass between. It's kind of like what you've seen in the NBA bubble. We had that working between us. So it was different in that regard. But once the game kicked off, AJ, it was, you know, it was football. I mean, we were into calling the game and doing it how it was. It was football, and I'm happy and grateful and thankful that A, we were able to, you know, call a game from the stadium, and that right now the plan is that we'll continue to do it on the road as well. So it won't be bubble calling it from home. We're planning to be in Lubbock next week in the Big 12, unlike the ACC, and the NFL is allowing each radio network to have its own sideline reporter. Can't have a parabolic microphone. Had to get rid of that position for this year. But we do have Laquan Cosby's down there on the sideline. So, yeah, there were adjustments to be made, no doubt. But once the game kicked off and we got into it, football's football.
Tom Herman seems to be a really, really forgiving guy when it comes to talented players, and B.J. Foster is the latest of a number of guys who have really had some questionable decisions that Tom Herman's kind of said, okay, I'm going to let it slide this time, but B.J. Foster, who allegedly quit in the second half of that game, like, has he come out and given any kind of statement as to why he did what he did? And why do you think Tom Herman's been so patient with these guys since he's been at Texas?
I'll answer the second part first, AJ. Having seen it over the last 3 years, now into his fourth season, they all, you know, they bunker in together. And I said this on my own show, is that none of us, we're not in that locker room. We're not on that practice field every day. I haven't even really been able to go to practice because of their own unique bubble, the way that they have it set up. And it must be working since they haven't had any COVID cases, not allowing anybody else outside other than the group to be in there. But even going back last year and the year before, I've seen how he connects with those guys, and they feel they could trust him. And we saw, you know, over the summer, the way he aligned himself with his guys when they did the walk to the Capitol with all the social unrest going on. And they knew that he had, as he said then, yeah, I got their back, but I have their front too. And he was out front walking with them because he believed in that. He's always been very outspoken as well about the name, image, and likeness thing. He said they should be able to profit from all of that. So he's been very upfront about that, and I think they're grateful for that. I think a better example than B.J. Foster is Joshua Moore. I mean, Josh Moore's from Yoakum, and a kid that had a good freshman season going 2 years ago until he broke his collarbone halfway through the year, and then he had a gun charge, a weapons charge, which was later dropped, but they had it the off season. And Tom brought him in and said, "Listen, I love you." And he had been talking to him since Tom was at U of H, and said, "But I can't let you back onto the team without really paying a price." He said, "If you really want to be a part of this team, you're going to have to show me." So every week, that kid was running with the scout team, doing the grunt work, all that other stuff, and then had to sit and not play every single week. And he knew it. And in a media availability this week, he said, I cried every week. But I go, he said, but I knew, and he goes, Coach Herman didn't have to do that. He didn't have to bring me back. He said, I had to pay my price, and I did. He said, I did my time, and he gave me another chance, and I'm grateful to him for that. So I think he feels, a kinship to those guys. And I think the same thing holds true for B.J. Foster. You know, in talking to Keandre Coburn and DeMarvian Overshone, a couple of the guys this week, as well as Josh Moore, they said they were all asked about B.J. They said he's a brother of ours. We all go through things, and we'll get through this together. They did not view it in the same prism, I think, A.J., that you or I or other media, certainly not fans, would view it in terms of the quote-unquote quitting the thing. They viewed it as him losing his cool, getting upset, walking off. But he showed up the next day, for weightlifting and is ready to go. It's almost like that episode of Seinfeld where George Costanza gets fired and keeps coming to work every day. You know, he's ready to go back to work and just forget the whole thing. So I think they look at it differently than how we outside their own bubble do view it.
Let me give you one more sort of off the field thing before we let you go. Craig Way, voice of the Longhorns, joining us here on the Blitz. The Eyes of Texas, what was it like? How many guys participated? Because obviously that's something we didn't see on TV. What was it like, when that song played? How many guys stuck around? How many guys headed to the locker room before and after the game?
Well, first of all, of course, before the game, they're all in the locker room
right before.
So they're not there for the anthem. They're not there for that. That's been standard practice because the way the countdown game clock works. Post game, I didn't see anybody stick around for it, but to be honest with you, AJ, with the band not there, it was going to be recorded music, and I swear to you, it almost seemed like 3, 2, 1, final gun, and boom, it started. And normally, that's not the case. Normally, the band strikes up Texas Fight, then there's some walking around, then they get to that. Well, Eyes of Texas came right up. Well, there were guys, there were a couple of them went out there and were saying hi to a couple of guys that they knew from UTEP, and then everybody else was just jogging into the locker room. So I don't think, I didn't see anybody really stand around for it, but it was done differently than it's been done. I'll be curious to see if it's done the same or differently for the TCU game, the next home game on October 3rd, because they were experimenting with a lot of things. They've got, they completely, Godzillatron is gone, so they've got a new board. So they've got that, and they're completely redoing it and still having to balance out things with sound and the echo and the audio and all of those kinds of things that they knew they were going to have challenges with once they got into an actual game. So it'll be interesting to see how they do it coming up in a couple of weeks.
Well, one more question, Craig, and it's his fourth year there, Tom Herman's fourth year. Obviously there was Charlie Strong was there before, and there was some early pressure on him, and he never really fought out of it. Tom did have that 2018 where Texas was back, baby, and it seemed like everything was heading in the right direction. Last year was a step back. What kind of pressure is there on Tom to have a successful season this year, and how are the fans grasping to him, and do you think Tom is the right guy for this job?
Well, I think that there's certainly expectation. And there's no expectation bigger than what I've heard Tom say about them, what the players say. They put it on themselves as much as anybody else would. One major difference, probably the biggest difference between Tom's time at Texas and Charlie's time at Texas, each through the first three seasons, Charlie went 6-7, 5-7, and 5-7. Tom went 7-6, 10-4, and 8-5. Now, if the 8-5 had come in the second year, I think there would have been less grumbling in the 10-4 the third year because folks would still look at it as a ramp-up. That's not the way it went down, however, as we know. It went 10-4. They had an impressive win over Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, and so there were big and exciting things forecast for it, and it didn't happen last year. It took a step back. Had to win the bowl game to finish 8-5, and it was really impressive. Utah was a good team, and they roundly dominated the team, and they won all three bowl games under Tom, but they want more than that. Everybody wants more than that, and they said, and Tom said, they're not going to shy away from talking about contending for a conference championship. They all believe it. They believe they should be in the thick of the fight and have a real shot at the very least get to Arlington, if not find a way to win it.
All right, that is Craig Way, voice of the Longhorns. You can hear him every Saturday. You can follow him at CraigWay1 on Twitter. Appreciate the time, Craig, and best of luck this season. Always appreciate you taking some time for us over here, man, and I'll talk to you soon, bud.
Anytime, AJ. I know you're a busy man at that building these days, so go. So keep rocking it.
All right, brother. Thank you, Craig.
You bet.
All right, I got to tell you guys about Carbach. If you haven't been out to Carbach lately, you've been missing out on my beer. Aaron, have you been yet? Have you gone to drink my s'more stout?
Not yet. That's on Slacker. My plan for this weekend.
Slacker, man. I don't know how much more they've got left of it, but do get out there and give it a try. They've got their Black is Beautiful as well. They've also got a Belgian quad with figs and dates on the board right now. That's just amazing. So some really good beers available right now since they've opened back up. They're breaking out the good stuff. They've got Carbachtoberfest right now. And of course, they've got the standards. They've got the Crawford Bach. They've got Love Street. They've got Hoppadillo. All that good stuff always available there at the brewery. And they've got a great, great menu of food as well. Guys, stop by, check it out. They've got sports on the big screen. Good brew, good food. It's a great time. But more importantly, make sure when you go out to the bars and the restaurants as they start to open back up, you ask the bartender for a Carbach. And make sure when you're out at the grocery store, make sure you take home some Carbach.
ESPN 97.5.